With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to a mini episode of Cinematic Universe, the podcast that's all about comic book movies, which you can find at cinematicmultiverse.com. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and I'll be bringing you a truncated version of the show to bridge the gap between our Doctor Strange and Constantine episodes, a couple of bonus episodes notwithstanding. I'll be giving you my reactions to the comics that James recommended on the Doctor Strange podcast, which were Doctor Strange the Oath, Doctor Strange Season 1, and I'll also be throwing in some discussion of the current Doctor Strange arc as well. But before any of that, let's take a look at some of the comic book movie news, and there's a lot that has broken since our last podcast. Okay, and we'll start off with the major TV news, which is that Inhumans is getting a TV show, which is coming to ABC next season. Now, obviously, Inhumans was a movie originally on the Marvel Cinematic Universe schedule. It was originally right at the end of Phase 3. It was removed. We didn't know whether it was coming back onto the movie roster or not. And obviously, Marvel figured out they had new plans for it. We will still see Inhumans on a movie screen, though, because Inhumans will debut on IMAX screens for a two-week run of the pilot episode, of the two-part pilot episode, so it will be kind of feature-length. That will be on September 1st. That will be on September 1st, and then it will debut on ABC on September 26th, and I think it'll be padded out with some extra material by the time it gets onto TV. The series itself will run for 8 episodes, so it's quite tight and focused for a network TV show anyway. And the focus will be the royal family. So this isn't going to be a spin-off of the Inhumans-y kind of stuff that they've been doing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is going to be Black Bolt and Medusa and all those kind of characters. That's going to be interesting when it turns up. It could be a one-and-done deal, or it could be something that they come back to year after year. But they're obviously trying something very different with this shorter series, a property that could be cinematic. And, it will be very interesting to see how Inhumans manages to pull itself together on television. Now, we're just going to be jumping entirely around here because there's so much different news that I haven't put it into any order. So this couldn't be further away from that. Warner Brothers have acquired the rights to Frank Miller and Jeff Darrow's, Jeff Darrow's 1990 comic, Hard Boiled. That's a comic that follows an insurance investigator who discovers that he's actually a killer cyborg tax collector. Now, this film is being lined up apparently for Ben Wheatley to direct, and he wants Tom Hiddleston to star in it. So, that's a property that I know absolutely nothing about, but maybe it's a future read if it's going to be a Ben Wheatley film. To the Marvel Cinematic Universe now, and Black Panther has cast Angela Bassett as T'Challa's mother in Black Panther. That cast just keeps getting better and better. James Gunn was talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 and that they only got the rights for Ego the Living Planet in a deal from Fox. Now, James Gunn was unaware that Ego the Living Planet was over at Fox and had no backup plan according to him, if they weren't allowed to use him. So when Fox came to Marvel and said, oh, we want to drastically change the power set of Negasonic Teenage Warhead in Deadpool, is that cool? Marvel said, sure, that's cool if you give us Ego back, which they did. So that's nice. And hey, it proves the studios can play nice if it's in both of their best interests. Christina Hodson, who wrote the 2016 thriller Shut-In and will write the Transformers spin-off Bumblebee, that is a movie that will not be getting my cinema tickets, has been reported to have been hired to write the Harley Quinn solo movie. That's now increasingly being reported as a Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey solo movie. So really, the kind of the DC female character-driven movie with Harley Quinn front and centre. I haven't seen Shut-In, but this piques my interest now, and maybe I will see whether Christina Hodson is going to do something interesting with the Harley Quinn movie. Sticking with DC, Kieran Hines is playing Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf is the Justice League villain, and it's that big, weird, monstery thing that we saw in a deleted scene, I believe, from Batman v Superman. And obviously, I think that's all kind of performance capture, or maybe even just voice stuff. I'm not sure, but yeah, I don't think we'll be physically seeing Kieran Hines on screen, but he will be the actor portraying Steppenwolf. There was a new Wonder Woman trailer since the last time we did a podcast. That looked, I think, notably brighter. There's lots of slow motion, lots of emphasis on the visuals. There's a gag at the end of the trailer. I've no idea what Wonder Woman's going to be like, but it seems like DC are getting a more coherent vision of how they want to sell their movies after the Wonder Woman trailers and the Justice League trailer that we saw coming out of Comic-Con. Michael Keaton has officially been confirmed as the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming. That took a long time to come about, but it has been confirmed he is the Vulture. And that should be fun, especially to look forward to all of the interviews, all of the junket interviews that Michael Keaton's going to have to sit through and explain Birdman and then taking this role. Michael Giacchino has also been confirmed as the composer for the film. He obviously scored Doctor Strange and did a pretty fine job. And when it comes to blockbusters anyway, he's pretty much my favourite composer of the last 5 or 10 years. So I couldn't be happier that he's following in the footsteps of people like Danny Elfman with doing the Spider-Man music. Scott Derrickson has been speaking about Doctor Strange, obviously lots of interviews about that film since it came out, and I think the most interesting thing that I heard him say, I believe this was on the Empire podcast, was about originally wanting Nightmare as his villain for Doctor Strange. Now Nightmare is a character that has been popping up here and there in the Doctor Strange comics that I've been reading for the podcast, and it sounds like an interesting character because it brings up the kind of the dream dimension, which is another dimension that exists in Doctor Strange, and it seems like a logical step that they could explore as they move forward and expand the multiverse in the Doctor Strange movies. It does make sense that they decided ultimately not to do that in the first movie, because yeah, maybe the number of different planes of existence that you introduce in that movie, you don't want to introduce too many, you don't want to make our minds explode. Because some of it was hard to follow anyway, and yet a dream dimension in the comics, it's taken me reading kind of different depictions of it to figure out what the hell's going on there. To the DC animated movies now, and this is really exciting. Billy Dee Williams is finally going to get to play Two-Face, and that will be in the Lego Batman movie. Now, it looks like this movie has just about every Batman villain imaginable in it, but Billy Dee as Two-Face is going to be one of them, and yeah, that couldn't be more delightful news. There is a rumour that John Cleese is going to be joining the DCEU, based on people following him on Twitter, like people like Joe Manganiello and DC producers following John Cleese. So maybe he's going to show up in the DC universe, or maybe they just like John Cleese. Who knows? X-Men, New Mutants. According to a leaked animated storyboard, which I don't know, maybe a fan has made, but this leaked storyboard has Demon Bear as the villain, and so that is the rumour as to who will be the villain in the New Mutants movie when it turns up. Now, Demon Bear, I'm aware, is kind of, I think it's the Demon Bear saga is a iconic storyline from New Mutants. It's something I'd heard of, but also a big bear doesn't seem like your biggest, most obvious villain for a superhero movie. So hopefully they have a good take on that, because if they're just picking from one of the best stories, rather than thinking, yeah, that'd be cool just to throw that character in there, then, you know, that's encouraging. Last couple of pieces of news now. The Cloak & Dagger TV series is now expected to debut on Freeform in 2018, so don't be expecting that to show up any point next year. And then Why the Last Man, the Brian K. Vaughan comic, that is getting an adaptation at FX. It's been kind of milling around in the ether for many years now, but it looks like it's finally beginning to coalesce, because Michael Green, who is a screenwriter who has credits on Logan, the upcoming X-Men movie, also was one of the credited writers on Green Lantern, and is co-running American Gods with Brian Fuller. He's been hired as the showrunner on this as well. He also has experience writing for Smallville and Heroes. So lots of superhero experience, a mixed bag in terms of that superhero experience, but someone who obviously has an interest in this genre. The show will also be produced by the People vs. O.J. Simpson producers. So that's kind of the creative team that's falling into place there. And it's something that we should keep an eye on to see whether it actually happens. But it does sound like this time it might be doing. Okay, that was the comic book, movie, and TV news. We'll move on now to the comic book recommendations. And we'll start with, I think we'll start with my least favourite of the three Doctor Strange comics that we're going to discuss. This is Doctor Strange Season 1. From 2011, which was from Greg Pak and Emma Rios, I believe. And this is kind of a graphic novel, similar to X-Men Season 1, which was recommended to me previously on the podcast, which I enjoyed a lot more than this, actually, which is kind of like a reimagining of the early years and the kind of origin of Doctor Strange. Now, this kind of, it doesn't spend too much time going into the whole, the car crash and the broken hands. That's kind of skimmed through, and it's basically following Doctor Strange after he turns up at Kamar-Taj and, I want to say befriends Wong, but he doesn't really. He kind of meets Wong and he meets Mordo and goes on this kind of globe-hopping adventure and is thrown into the deep end with meeting lots of kind of different aspects of the kind of magical Marvel universe, and basically I think this is the first time that I fully got the idea of them worshipping the Vishanti, I think it is, in Doctor Strange, with the Vishanti kind of being the people you want to please to be able to use your magic, and there's the whole idea of Doctor Strange not really being worthy to wield magic throughout these comics because he is coming into it as this egocentric surgeon, and it takes a lot for him to actually be able to use the magic and be deemed worthy by the Vishanti, so he can battle, essentially, Mordo is the main villain here. And I don't know, it seemed like of all the versions of Doctor Strange that I've encountered through the comics and through the movie, seemed like the least vital one. And in fact, you know, if I were to pick one kind of reimagining of the Doctor Strange origin story, I'd point you dead in the direction of the movie right now and actually say, look, if you want to get to know Doctor Strange, go watch the movie, and that does a better job of what Doctor Strange Season 1 is trying to do than the comic itself. It's got some interesting visuals sometimes, but in terms of the artwork, one of the other Doctor Strange comics that I'm about to discuss, I think blows it out of the water. And the plot isn't really that interesting. It's kind of a MacGuffin hunt around the world and then a fight with Mordo. And yeah, I couldn't really get into this. It's a fairly quick read and it's not bad by any stretch, but it just wasn't very exciting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In terms of the Season 1 comics, I enjoyed the X-Men one a lot more. That also felt like a reimagining that felt current and modern and a take on the X-Men in the 21st century, whereas this felt like a version of Doctor Strange just retold for the sake of it. So yeah, it didn't really seem to have a strong reason for being compared to that X-Men one and compared to the other Doctor Strange stuff. So if there's one of these comics I'd recommend that you don't read, it's X-Men Season 1, which is fine, but just not great. A lot more fun was, and this is James's other recommendation, is Doctor Strange The Oath, which is a 2007 limited series from Brian K. Vaughan and drawn by Marcos Martin. And this is, a 5-issue story about Doctor Strange that apparently was one of the key influences for Scott Derrickson for this movie. And it's really fun. There's I'd say the most obvious thing is that it kind of opens with the kind of Doctor Strange being treated by Night Nurse, and because he's just been shot, and he kind of is astrally projecting and talking to her while it's happening, and It's a really fun kind of Doctor Strange story that is a nice introduction to the character. If you didn't know the character too much before, I think this kind of it has some of the origin-y stuff in there, but it's kind of being thrown in there to give context to a different current story that's being told. And so I think the basic setup is that, that Doctor Strange has been shot and that someone has stolen something from him. And we'll later find out that what's happened is Wong is ill. Wong has terminal cancer and Doctor Strange is not willing to accept that. He's not willing to accept that Wong could die. And so what he does is he travels to this different plane and battles this monster and manages to get hold of this MacGuffin-y kind of thing that is going to cure Wong's cancer, except he decides to do all his due diligence first and tests it and figures out what it actually is and what it can do. And what it turns out is this is basically this kind of magical elixir that can cure all cancer and probably all disease, and it's a lot stronger than he could have ever possibly imagined. And so that attracts the attention of other people who conspire to steal it from him and lead to him being shot, which is where we start our story. And so there are obviously there's flashbacks here and there and everywhere. But it also, it presents a kind of a moral dilemma for the character of, you know, that here is this thing that, you know, should Doctor Strange be using? Should he be wasting it on Wong? Or should he not be trying to figure out a way to, you know, use it for the entire world? And do the villains who he comes up against in this comic have a point, which is that this is too big a fix, you know, to throw a cure to all disease into the world? Would that not destabilize the world more than it would do good? Would the effects be too big? And it's a pretty simple story. It allows for different tangents as the five issues are going on. Lots of fun action. I mean, I've yet to read a Brian K. Vaughan comic that I don't really like. They seem immediately accessible, and kind of they always feel like a bit of a romp to me. It seems like a fairly safe bet at this point that if someone recommends one of his comics to me, I'm going to have some fun with it. I don't want to spoil too many of the particulars of what's actually going on here, but I will say that Dr. Nicodemus West plays a part in this, who is the character that Michael Stuhlbarg plays very briefly in the movie. This does kind of lots of things that I want in my superhero comics, and I would definitely highly, highly recommend Doctor Strange the Oath, certainly over X-Men Season 1. Over Doctor Strange Season 1. But the final Doctor Strange comic that I'm going to talk about is the current run on Doctor Strange from Jason Aaron and Chris Bacalo, which I've been reading since, since about this time last year when Marvel did its all-new, all-different relaunch following on from Secret Wars. And this was kind of one of the earliest comics that they launched coming out of that. I've read 14 issues now, maybe 15, or maybe the 15th is about to come out. So kind of two and a bit arcs. And for me, while this doesn't do any origin story kind of stuff, it has been the kind of the perfect way to be eased into and introduced to this side of the Marvel Universe and this character leading up to the movie. It's not the same kind of version as the character as you see in the movie. This is a very experienced Doctor Strange, and it's almost kind of like a refresh of the entire status quo of what it means to be Doctor Strange. Because we kind of start off with this Doctor Strange running around Manhattan, you know, based on Bleecker Street, living with Wong, and he kind of takes in a new kind of, I don't want to say apprentice, but a kind of sidekicky character, audience surrogate character who comes in with him. And the first arc is kind of just magical, jaunty stuff around. The artwork from Chris Bacalo is very trippy and has lots of fun with the magic and the kind of stuff that Doctor Strange is able to see through his Eye of Agamotto, of the magical world that the rest of the people walking around Manhattan don't see. But it's not too trippy that it ever distracts. It's kind of just it's perfect for the story they're telling here. And so we kind of get the first arc is lots of just fun Doctor Strange kind of stories there. And then the second arc kind of kicks off this storyline called The Last Days of Magic, which becomes apparent as you're going through is this big kind of status quo shift for the magical realm in Marvel Comics. Breaks down the character of Doctor Strange, has a really unique take on his place in the universe and the people that he interacts with throughout the magical world. And kind of, by the end of the arc, resets what's actually going on with magic in the Marvel Universe and takes it back to, I think, like a manageable level that they can build upon, and stops Doctor Strange being this kind of all-powerful Sorcerer Supreme and someone who has to be a little bit more resourceful and a little bit more thinking on his feet. And the third arc, as I've been reading it so far, is kind of been introducing you to each of Doctor Strange's foes kind of one by one as he bounces around. It's also been the Doctor Strange annual, which had Clea in it shortly after I got James to recommend or to explain who she was on the podcast. So in this arc, we've seen Dormammu, who is working with Mordo. Then we get Nightmare popping up for an issue. And then we've had Satana, the character that we've speculated on this podcast might be the Sigourney Weaver character in the Defenders TV series. And it looks like the villain in the next comic is a big eye. But I haven't read that one yet. It's been a really interesting route through Doctor Strange in Marvel. And I know James kind of recommended the two comics he did because they were Doctor Strange comics that he'd actually read rather than anything that he was hugely passionate about as stuff that he'd really loved. And that was the one thing I kept hearing coming up to Doctor Strange, or like I've heard other podcasts saying, what Doctor Strange comics would you recommend reading? And it seems that everyone says, the early stuff, the Ditko stuff is, you know, the visuals are incredible, and some of the early stuff is fun and interesting, but no one has like been raving about any particular Doctor Strange arc. Although you've got to go back to these 1992 comics where they were doing really interesting stuff. No one ever seems to be saying that. It seems to be Doctor Strange is fine. There's nothing great on the page. And I think this is great. I sampled a lot of Marvel comics coming out of the All New, All Different relaunch. And this is one of the few that I'm still reading a year on. And one of the few that has actually, produced more than 10 comics in that time frame. I've been reading the Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man, and that's, I think, managed to get through 8 or 9 issues in the same time frame that Doctor Strange has got to 14 or 15. Plus the annual, and there was a Last Days of Magic one-off as well. And I've been hugely enjoying this. So to anyone who says there aren't any good Doctor Strange comics, my response would be yes there are, and they are the ones that are being published right now. And I think at least the first trade of this has been collected, probably the first 7 or 8 issues will be on Marvel Unlimited by now. I've been buying them physically, don't regret that at all because like I say, the artwork is so pretty that this is one of the comics that I read as soon as I purchase each month, and I can't recommend this Doctor Strange enough. And while I enjoyed Doctor Strange an awful lot, I think I enjoyed this even more. So the current Doctor Strange run from Jason Aaron, Chris Bacalo would be my main recommendation. It was my own recommendation. So it's like me winning the pitch. But this week I win the recommendations. And also Matt did, after the Doctor Strange episode, he did send me the Doctor Strange movie. I decided not to discuss that on the minisode because I think we should do it as a future episode of the show. Now I've got a copy, and that's gonna be pretty fun when we get to it. Maybe next year, some point, I'll just have to sell the idea to Seven James. But that is it for this week's show. Don't forget that the next episode of the show will be focused on Constantine. I think I said Constantine at the start of this episode, but the movie is definitely Constantine. It's the Keanu Reeves version. I think we're going to have a lot to discuss on that. I've watched that recently. And I'll be joined by Seb and a special guest for that episode, a returning guest. Very much looking forward to. Constantine is our next episode of the show. But if you are enjoying the show, then please do subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, or your podcast app of choice. And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/cinematicuniverse. You can find more episodes of Cinematic Universe at cinematicmultiverse.com. Also recently, Seb has started writing weekly comic book roundups on the website, on the blog section of the website, where you can find the podcast as well. I've been reading those just personally because it is interesting whenever I can to hear Seb talk about comics. He talks about some of the stuff that I'm reading, some of the stuff that I'm not reading, it's very quick and digestible to read. So if you kind of want to keep up with what's good and what's not each week, Seb's doing a stellar job there. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, on Twitter at CU_podcast, or send us an email to cinematicuniversepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.